Good morning. It's Saturday morning, February the 2nd, 2019, 11:53. It's still morning. It's still morning. I got it in. I won't have it all in during the morning, but I'll go back and get some lunch. Instead of going back and get breakfast, I'll go back and get some lunch. This might work out better in the long run, particularly over the cold winter months. Sun's up. It's 50 degrees. I can't believe it's 50 degrees. Happy Groundhog's Day. In Bulge, I think, in the pagan calendar. I probably have that wrong. I can't see a thing on my phone because the sun is so bright. So the story's coming. It's coming together. I like where it's going. I got a lot of stuff. I had a long chat with a friend yesterday afternoon, talking about where I think the story's going and what it's about, and realized that one of my problems is that I've been all this time writing backstory. I haven't actually been writing the story. So what I've come to appreciate is that, oh, it is simple. Okay. I was right. So what I've come to appreciate is that a lot of what I've got written probably is not going to survive second draft. Because what I discovered as I'm filling in the pieces, as I'm going through the outline, the outline was very heavily weighted toward the end in terms of things that were happening, but it was very sparse but elongated at the beginning. And I had an epiphany yesterday when I was chatting. You know who you are. The problem was that I had been writing along a lot of backstory. And the backstory itself, I think, is interesting. The backstory itself has merit. And so I'm looking at the structure of the story thinking, this does not play well with the kind of linear storytelling I'm used to doing. I need to see where this goes. I need to see how this works out. I have this sort of half-formed vision of a movie that's playing in my head, and it's pretty compelling. I don't know if it's enough. I don't know if it's the right story. I don't know if it's the right movie. So we'll see. I don't know. But it's going. I got some writing in this morning already. I want to get some more in this afternoon. I'm not quite at the stage where my skin is itching to get the story out yet, but I can feel it coming. I'm also trucking along here this morning. Wow, look at me go. I can tell because I'm panting. My hip hurts. But I'm really pushing. I want to get back. I'm hungry, for one thing. I want to get back and get a sandwich. It's Saturday, so yeah, I don't know what that means. I don't know if it makes any difference what day of the week it is. We had a discussion yesterday on one of our Facebook groups about, you know, writing every day and a single piece of advice you'd give a new writer. And of course, ask a writer, give me one piece of advice. And I'm no exception to this rule, by the way. But give me one piece of advice turns into a treatise. My advice was finish the damn book. That was it. One sentence. It's the one piece of advice that I give to every new writer, generally about the time they've sent me the first five chapters and they're sort of stuck. And they want to know whether or not they should keep going. The answer is yes. You should keep going. And then they send me a revised draft of the first five chapters. They're like, no. Keep going. Don't go backwards. Go forwards. Finish the book. It's no good revising the first five if you haven't written the last five. It's no good revising the first one unless you've written the last one. Because the difficulty, and I've seen it in my own writing, I've seen it in other people's writing, I've seen it over and over and over and over and over. There's a certain amount of inline editing you've got to do. There's a certain point where you realize you put yourself in a plot hole and you've got to go back to Albuquerque and make that left turn. Ideally, you haven't left New Mexico yet. That's a little bothersome. Little terrier with no collar or leash barking at me from across the street. Okay, that looks like his owner. Okay. But the difficulty that I keep seeing new writers in particular, the trap, the hole that they get into, is that they spend weeks trying to make that first chapter perfect and never actually finish the book. Because by the time they've got that first chapter perfect, just feel sick of the whole process. They don't like the book. They don't like the story. They don't like the characters. They don't like writing. I get it. The problem is, as you're down in the weeds, as you're working through the story, as you're working along the plot, as you're paying attention to characterization, as you're focusing on the words that are going on the page now, it's easy to lose track of things like, what's the theme of this book? Is there a theme that's developing? If you didn't have one to begin with, which I try to, but don't always succeed with, is one emerging? And almost always, yes, one does emerge. At least in my writing. So, paying a lot of attention to what comes before the midpoint in the story, that comes before the first quarter. You get out of the first act. And of course, I break this rule all the time myself, but at least I'm aware of it. Because really what has to happen is that this book that I'm writing now, I really have to see the whole of it before I understand which pieces of it need to stay and which pieces of it would need to go, which is why I'm not going back and revising old work. I'm finding pieces that seem like they should go in this book and stitching them in. I mentioned Frankenstein's monster yesterday. Oh, get ready. Say it with me. Monk post. But I've got a clearer view of it as I've added more to it, as I've seen a greater extent of it. I still don't know how much of it is going to stay, how much of it is going to go. Still not 100% sure where the beginning of the book is, to be perfectly honest. And that idea just struck me as I was walking down the street here. I wonder where the beginning of the book is, as opposed to where I started writing. I started writing when Sarah was born. And there's a lot of drama there, there's a lot of angst there, there's a lot of stuff there. But that may not be where the story starts. The story really has to be about the company and their relationship with the shamans, and with Otto and his relationship with Sarah. That's pretty good, actually. Huh. Okay, I need to let that gestate a little bit. I've put on my conversational turn signal. I'm about to change subjects. Right here, as soon as I get to this curve. Okay, the other thing that I got involved in yesterday was a conversation on Facebook with a fellow writer. As far as I know, it's in public. The guy's name is Kevin McLaughlin. McLaughlin. I'm pretty sure that's his name. He's a brilliant guy. He's really, really brilliant guy. He writes stuff I don't read, but he's also one of the proponents of the importance of advertising, which of course runs completely diametrically opposed to anything that I think about when it comes to marketing. And he wrote a really interesting and very thoughtful piece and then linked it to his Facebook page about how there's another shakeup in indies that's coming. And I'm not sure I buy the premise that there's a shakeout, that there's going to be a big migration of indies out of the field. I don't see that happening at all. In fact, I see more and more people coming in. Will they replace people who have been in the market for the last 3 years? What I would call the quitters, who will look at their progress so far and think, nah, screw it, and bail. And without really knowing why they've been unsuccessful at what they do, they will quit and bail out. And he posited that there was a big shakeout when Kindle Unlimited version 2 Electric Boogaloo came out, and they stopped paying for borrows and started paying for pages. And all the people who were gaming the system by putting out 10 page books, so that by the time you read the cover page, you already got credit for the borrow. It was a grand total of 1,000 words, maybe, on a good day with a tailwind. And those people gamed the Kindle Unlimited 1.0 out of existence, because nobody wanted to subscribe to a service where all of the books were or most of the books. I know there were people who were in that program early, who did not write 10-page wonders, who actually wrote books and actually grew their audience by writing real books with real stories and real plots and real characters, real settings, all that. And but Kevin's proposition was that it shook out all of those people who were just writing 10-page books. Maybe, I don't know. We don't really have any data. It's perhaps a logical assumption. It's probably more logical to assume that those people became book stuffers and moved on to the next level of scam. I think either one is equally likely. And he said there was that when we shift over from Unlimited 1 to Unlimited 2, that those authors went away. I don't think they did, but that caused a shakeout in the author world. And he's hypothesizing that it's going to happen again, because his predicate position is that competition is too stiff now for an author to find an audience unless they master advertising. And this is like, this is like, you gotta be kidding me. He couched it in terms of having to master marketing, and I agree with that. They have to master marketing, which means they have to understand marketing. They have to learn what marketing is. They have to learn that advertising is not marketing. Advertising is a tool that marketing can use in their sales and promotion activities, but it's not marketing. It is far from the be-all, end-all of marketing. Marketing goes way deeper than that, as I have pontificated on way too many times. And it really starts with a strategic vision. It starts with a goal. It starts with, yes, marketing. It starts with the goal. Why are you doing what you're doing? Everybody does marketing. They just don't recognize it. It's like, why do you look around for a better job? What's a better job? Is it one that gives you more free time? Is it one that gives you more money? Is it one that gives you both? Is it one that gives you extra vacation time? Is it a job that's interesting? Is it a job that's better than a call center? Is it better than a telemarketing, soul-killing grind? Or maybe it's a Walmart greeter. Maybe that's a good job for you. Maybe that's something that you'd like to do, because you don't have very much responsibility. You don't have to do very much. You have to be there. You have to be pleasant. You have to smile. Welcome to Walmart. Maybe that's a better job than the one that you have. Every once in a while, I think I want to start a taco truck. And not that it's a better job. It's just I like tacos, and it's a good way to get them. Writing is still the best job I ever had. And I've had some good jobs. I don't. The last 30 years, I've taken jobs that covered my bills and didn't do very much damage to my psyche. I had some that were puzzling that I had to leave. I've worked for a couple where they were engaged in scamming. I had to get out of those. But, you know, those are, it's like, okay, the bar was pretty low. You can't be breaking the law. If I find you breaking the law, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave as soon as humanly possible. I got fired from a couple. Good with that. Anyway. So I had a long conversation with him yesterday. He's taken my input, and he's going to think about it a little bit. He's going to get back to me. So it should be a good conversation. So if you get a chance, look up Kevin McLaughlin and see what he has to say. In the meantime, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.